The research that I'm going to present today is about cost effectiveness of tobacco control policies in Vietnam. I, Hua Chuong, have no relationship to disclose, and one of the co-authors for this research owns EpiGears, which sells the AirSoft software used in this analysis. I would like to acknowledge that this research was supported by the Atlantic Philanthropies under the Developing the Evidence Base for Health Policies in Vietnam. I would like to extend our highest appreciation to the individuals at the University of Queensland School of Population Health, including Dr. Coral Gardner for her advice on tobacco issues and the prevalence modeling, Associate Professor Peter Hill and Dr. Ango for their extended support in facilitating this study. And this research has been accepted for publication in Applied Health Economics and Health Policy. So this is a roadmap for my presentation. I would like to say a little bit about the background, the research aims, and move into the methods where I spent most of my time, the results, and then discussion and conclusion. Just a little bit of information about Vietnam, which has a population of about 87.3 million people. GDP in 2009 was about 91.9 billion US dollars. And the average economic growth rate between 95 and 2009 was about 7.1%. So it has done pretty well in the past decades or so. The gross national income per capita is about $1,000, and the literacy rate is 90%. Life expectancy at birth for male and females in year is 69 and 75. So compared to other countries in that range of income, Vietnam is doing pretty well in their health performance. I don't have time to list other indicators, but Vietnam has been listed as a success story in terms of health performance at the population level. Some background for our research. Tobacco smoking is one of the leading public health problems in the world, and Vietnam has one of the highest rates of male smoking, more than 50%, according to some of the latest survey. And the government of Vietnam has implemented a number of policies only recently. In year 2000, they launched the National Tobacco Control Policy, and the key intervention areas include dissemination of health messages, you know, how harmful tobacco smoking could be. They started banning advertisement. They tried to put health warning messages on the tobacco bags and so on and so forth. But due to resource constraint and competing issues, I mean, including politics, their tobacco control policy hasn't been implemented to the full potential. So the research aims for our work was to provide policymakers with information on the cost effectiveness of a range of interventions to reduce tobacco-related morbidity and mortality in Vietnam. I'm very glad that my presentation followed Heather's presentation because she kind of set up the stage for my presentation. But at the same time, I'm a bit worried because she said that evidence base has nothing to do with policy making. So I hope things are a bit different in Vietnam because this is what we try to do. But you know, when we do cost effectiveness analysis, we are aware that they are the so-called second filters. So you know, it's the politics, it's the vested interests, you know, industry interests, lobby groups, and so on and so forth. They all play a role in the policy making process. So let me get into the methods where my focus could be. We analyze different interventions. An intervention should be understood in the broadest sense, including any use of resources to improve the population health. It could be preventive, it could be promotive, curative, and rehabilitative, and public policy. So we analyzed four tobacco control interventions with five options. They are excise tax increase, graphic warning label on cigarette packs, mass media campaigns, and smoking ban. We want to differentiate between smoking ban in public places and smoking ban at workplaces because they have different implications. So the first intervention, it could be very broad, but when we analyze the costs and benefits of each intervention, we got to be very precise. So this intervention was defined as several scenarios of excise tax increase from the base level of 55%. So we varied the tax rate. The scope of the intervention included initial investment in passing legislation, media advocacy, ongoing management and monitoring policies. Because all tobacco production in Vietnam is owned by state-owned enterprises. There's a lot of politics behind this. Whenever we tried to talk to the Ministry of Health, the tobacco companies also have their own ways to get into the back doors of the Ministry of Health as well as the government at the Prime Minister's office level. So as you can see, we need to do a lot of work so that we hope that we can pass the legislation in terms of increasing tax rate. We have to do media advocacy. We have to do management and enforce the policy could be in place and implemented fully. The second intervention is graphic warning labels. The current cigarette packs carry warning message in Vietnamese text, covering 30% of the pack surface without the graphic image. So this intervention was defined as having both text and pictorial messages displayed on at least 50% of the pack surface. The scope of the intervention included initial investment in passing legislation, development of pictorial labels, and the different option if you look at, you know, cigarette packs in Canada, in Thailand, and so on and so forth, there are different images there, mass media advocacy, ongoing management, and law enforcement activities as well. The third intervention is about mass media campaigns. This intervention was defined as implementation of a series of mass media campaigns through television, radio, newspaper, journals, internet, electronic boards, billboards, and so on and so forth. And the scope of the intervention was quite similar to the last one, you know, including many activities to make sure that we could do those activities properly and fully. And the last intervention was smoking ban. This hasn't happened yet in Vietnam. I mean, you couldn't smoke in a domestic flight, for example. I was shocked when I was in China, I took the domestic flight and people smoke during the flight inside the plane. So it did not happen yet in Vietnam that way, but still smoking, you can see it everywhere, you know, public bus station, on the bus, and so on and so forth. And we need to make the distinction between two places because the cost effectiveness is very different between the two places. So we have four interventions. Basically, again, this is a cost effectiveness analysis. So if you have a limited resource, you know, what do you want to do? Your goal is to cut smoking rate, but you know, what intervention do you want to do here? So we look at different interventions and then we start doing the analysis. Very important for me to emphasize that we adopted a governmental perspective when estimating both costs and benefits. I hope to get back to this at the end. There's a different implication when you adopt the governmental perspective or you adopt individual perspective or you adopt industrial perspective or you even adopt the societal perspective. Depends on how you look at things. The cost could be different, the benefits can be different as well. Cost of intervention was estimated over a period of 10 years at full implementation. So to carry out those interventions, we have to take into account that it can last for 10 years and the cost must be measured at the full implementation level. Time horizon is also important to mention. It was a lot longer. We follow population age 15 years of age or older from 2006, and we follow them until extinct. And as you can imagine, any policy to cut tobacco smoking could not have any impacts in the next year or the next 3 years. That's why we need to measure the benefits for many years in the future, 30 years, even 50 years, because cancer doesn't happen. You smoke today, cancer doesn't happen tomorrow, and so on and so forth. So you can see the level of uncertainty in the analysis. It involves very extensive modeling. And discovery rate, okay, you know, things, you know, you can get 10 years from now, 20 years from now, could not be considered as the same today. If you spend $10,000 10 years from now, even you take into inflation rate and so on and so forth, $10,000 10 years from now is not the same as $10,000 today. So we have to discount both costs and effects for each intervention. So this is about how we estimate the intervention cost. We use COSTED, which is a framework developed by the WHO to estimate different kind of cost. We use the so-called bottom-up ingredient approach to measure cost. And I will show you the cost categories in a couple of minutes. You know, when necessary, we have to use the top-down approach to generate estimates of the unit prices from the budget and other government reports. And a lot of, you know, activities that could take resources, but you do not find them in the markets. And in that sense, we have to use the shadow pricing. Is an economic concept. When you use something that doesn't have a market value, then we use the shadow pricing. Cost offsets is also important, because when you prevent something bad happened, you could save money in the future. The money doesn't fall on your laps right now. If you avoid cancer 20 years from now, it means the government or individual could not have to spend money for whatever it takes to deal with cancer. So that we need to take into account cost offsets. So that is estimating costs. Now, estimating the intervention effects, we focus mostly on 10 diseases because it's impossible to cover all kind of, you know, tobacco-related diseases. They are ischemic heart diseases, cerebrovascular accident, cancers, different kind of cancers there, lower respiratory tract infection, and so on and so forth. So those are the main diseases that we look at. So we look at the effects of each intervention obtained from the literature. So for the scope of this research, we did not carry any study to look at, you know, the effects of smoking on certain diseases. We relied on research that has been done on that. And then we assumed, again, based on the literature, 10 years of effects on smoking uptakes and cessation, which together affect the smoking prevalence. Hearings arising from the intervention was expressed as disability-adjusted life years. I don't know if you're familiar with DALIs. Basically, DALI is equal to the years of life lost due to death plus the years lived with disability. So depends on how severe your disease, the quality of life will be reduced accordingly. So basically, when we avert one DALI, it means we avoid a healthy year of life. That's what it means by DALI averted. So that's how we measure the benefits of the tobacco control policy. Modeling, basically, this is a cost-effectiveness analysis at the population level. The model is designed to reflect costs and effects of the intervention to derive the so-called the incremental cost-effectiveness ratio, the ICER. We use Markov process and comprise of two submodels, a smoking prevalence model and an epidemiological model. And then we have to generate the confidence intervals around the estimates because there's a lot of uncertainties here. I even could say deep uncertainties. You want to measure benefits 10 years, 30 years from now. You talk about cost of intervention at the population level. So there's a lot of uncertainties. And that's why we used Monte Carlo simulation to conduct to provide the uncertainty intervals for the ICER. These are just very brief introduction to the models we use. For example, in the smoking prevalence model, we follow the population age you know, 15s and older. Some of them could smoke, some of them could not smoke. And then, you know, we could see, you know, how, you know, they go through different stages in their life, and so on and so forth. The epidemiological models, same thing, we do intervention. There could be negative effect, there could be positive effects, and then basically we look at, you know, the incidence of having those diseases, those 10 diseases that we are interested in, and so on and so forth. So I don't think I have time to go into details of these models, but basically we use these two models to describe the population that go through the process until extinct. Data sources, we use different data sources for our research. The census 1999, population change survey in 2006. We look at smoking rates using the living standards survey, intervention costs. We look at different sources of data, including market data, state budget regulation, and so on and so forth. And the disease parameters came from the burden of disease study in 2006. So actually, this research is one of the components of a bigger project that is that included mortality, burden of diseases, and then cost-effectiveness analysis. This is a very brief description of the cost of the intervention. There are five categories here. The first category is called strategy development and evaluation. Second is human resource requirements. Third is media and advocacy. And then fourth is program supplies. And then the last one is rent, utilities, equipments, and so on and so forth. So on the very left side is the categories of cost, and then you have the interventions, there are tax increase, graphic pack, warning label, and so on and so forth. So that's the total cost for each intervention. Intervention effects, this is we extracted from the literature. So since I'm running out of time, just to show you how we modeled and using the literature to study the effects of different intervention. So here is the result. Basically, this table shows you how much it costs to avert the DALI. For example, it costs only 500 Vietnam dong to avert a DALI if we do the pictorial warning label on cigarette packs. The most expensive intervention per unit cost is smoking ban in workplaces. So as you can see, we rank them in order in terms of the unit price there, and pictorial warning label is the most cost effective. This is what we call the expansion pathway. Basically, on the vertical axis, you can consider as total cost. On the horizontal axis is the units of the DALIs averted. Or we can think of this graph in a different way. Total cost, number of units. Total cost could be you spend $10,000. Here, number of computers you spend. So the slope of the line tells you the unit cost. How much it costs to buy a laptop, how much it costs to avert a DALI. So that's how we should interpret this graph. And basically, the steeper the slope, the more expensive it is to avert a DALI. And as shown, pictorial label is the most cost effective, and then tax, and then smoking ban, and so on and so forth. So the next question is, okay, given the resources the government of Vietnam plans to spend, for example, if they have $400 billion, anyway, you know, it's $20,000 per US, sorry, 20,000 Vietnam dong per US dollar. So if you look at $400 billion, it's not that much money. So this is just one hypothetical situation. If the government has $400 billion, they can do what? First, they can do pictorial label, and then they can do tax, and so on and so forth. This is just a few things for you to think about the strength and the limitation of our research. The strength is we use bottom-up approach when estimating cost, which give us very close to, you know, the reality, how much it costs to do an intervention. And we use the latest data on mortality and burden of disease because, like I said, this is one component of a bigger project. So we have the latest data on burden of diseases. But there are also limitations of our research as well. The time gap between change in smoking status and then health implication is really hard to model. If you stop smoking today, how could that affect your probability of having a certain disease? So it's really difficult to model. It involves a lot of, you know, calculation and, of course, you know, errors as well. We look at only 10 diseases related to smoking, so it's kind of underestimating. And then a societal perspective could be more complete, but it was not feasible given our time and the data constraint. Our conclusion is all interventions are highly cost-effective without cost offsets. If we included cost offsets, meaning if you took into account certain diseases were avoided so that you could not spend money in the future, 20 years from now, 30 years from now, all interventions are cost-saving, meaning actually it doesn't cost anything to do this. It saved the society's money. And we think all of the interventions should be considered as a priority for tobacco control policy. That's the end of my presentation. Thank you.